She could hear the sounds of pounding boots. The Tuscans would be returning at any minute. But with Ben there, she felt no fear at all. "I thank you," he said to a Yark, bowing. Standing before a passageway into the labyrinth, a Yark looked back coolly.
"You remembers, Ben," she said. "You knows what you can be."
With that, she slipped back into the shadows. Annalene and Ben walked swiftly across the clearing, stopping only at Mullen's corpse. Annalene blanched then, and turned to gaze back in the direction of Orin's departure. Ben looked at her.
"I'm sorry," he said.
"I'm not," Annalene replied. Turning, she embraced him. It was not a passionate hug, but the exhausted collapse of someone who had had a very long day, and night, and day. This embrace, Ben did not refuse. She looked up at him and started to speak. He spoke first.
"Not here," he said.
He smiled.
"My place. Tonight."
Then he nudged her in the direction of the trail leading down. Chapter 46. Ben had found his own way home. So had Annalene, and it began the hardest afternoon of her life. She'd emerged from the hills to find a muted victory celebration. The farmers who'd come to the Jundland after a would-be traitor had found instead a battle with a perennial enemy, the gangsters of Mos Eisley. And the country folk had absolutely routed the city folk. Moseb Benid, mathematician enough to calculate odds on the fly, had decided to cut his losses in the Galt affair and withdraw with only the tail of his skiff on fire. Olbrek and the others were relieved to see Annalene, but unhappy to hear that they'd been robbed of their chance to settle with Orin. Nearby, Annalene found Vika, under treatment from Doc Mel. In shock, the injured woman didn't respond at all when Annalene told her of her father's demise. Questions came at Annalene from all directions. Thankfully, Lily's husband saw her situation and offered to drive her back to the claim alone. He dropped her off and departed without a word. Home, the famished Annalene ate as she packed, explaining to her puzzled children between bites what had happened. What she understood of it, anyway. In late afternoon, Lily arrived at the back door of the residence, her face an ashen pink. She stayed outside as she recounted to Annalene what was being said at her home, and at others across the oasis. In a moment in which every hidden resentment against the Galt suddenly found voice, most had been quick to find Ben faultless. It was so like Orin, they said, to deflect blame to a hapless newcomer, and someone would have had to be terrified to seek shelter in a known Tuscan nest. Or crazy. But while all appreciated Ben's revelation, it rankled many that he'd evidently learned truths in days that had evaded people who worked around Orin for years. Blameless or not, Ben was a strange character, and few were in any hurry to see him again. Under the settlers' questioning, once tough Vika had melted into a pathetic, simpering thing, describing in detail Orin's embezzlement from the fund and his attacks against those who wouldn't subscribe to it. Then, fearing for her life, she lashed out at the Calwells, claiming Jabe had been along not just in the staged Olbrich raid, but all the ones before. And in Vika's story, Annalene had known all about it, had profited from the sales of guns and ale. No one was overly inclined to believe Vika, nor the oafish Zed, who echoed her story when confronted for his role. But the financial records found in Orin's home, which he had failed to erase through lack of time or overconfidence, held damaging facts. They detailed tens of thousands of credits paid from the fund to the claim over the years for ale, weapons, and garaging, all the way back to Danar Calwell's time. All quite legitimate, from Annalene's point of view, but the sums boggled the minds of many poor prospectors who saw conspiracy. Several old-timers recalled Java trumping up a Tuscan war years earlier to sell shoddy weapons. Was this like that? Anna Lean had seen beyond corruption, sure. But hadn't they seen Orin walking behind the counter many times, plucking money from the cash box with Annalene's indulgence? And what about all her private financial records sitting in the datapad right on his desk? How separate were the families, really? Annalene already knew, not very separate at all. There were just too many ties to disentangle. Ties that Annalene had let grow over the years because it was easier not to argue with Orin. But where the links between the two families had brought them to a position of respect and relative wealth, it now made them the focus of envy and suspicion. It had all transpired just as Ben had said it would. Annalene now counted fortune-telling among his other talents. She had already noted that no one had arrived at the claim for dinner. Her position was untenable. Given time, she might sort it out if she were on Coruscant with a lawyer. But this was Tatooine, where rumor and bad feelings spread like sand on the wind, and where minds, once made up, never changed. She and Lily hugged tearfully. Annalene, unable to begin to explain to her friend what had transpired or what her plans were, she simply promised to contact her again. And then she shut the door, ready to walk the claim one last time. Light returned to Orin slowly. When it arrived, it was piercing, and so was the pain. The sky shimmered for some reason, a brilliant whorl at the end of a tunnel. He could not feel his legs. They were there, he could tell, his hands were resting against them. But there was no feeling in his feet or toes at all. It's the crash, he thought. I've been burned. He'd been through this before. As a child, he'd stayed out on a midsummer day with no hat or skin protection, and had come back with a face so raw and parched that even smiling hurt. His parents had kept him inside for a day, his face bandaged to keep him from picking at it. The fabric on his face now felt like that, only rougher. Yes, that was it. He'd been bandaged and taken to Bastine. Doc Mel was probably there, conferring with the local doctors about his case. Orin breathed in relief. And then he heard his breath.